I would have gotten away with it, too, if it wasn't for those meddling devil's advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Insurrection Anniversary, January 6th, and I have the finest of guests joining me right now live via Zoom. He's our good friend. He is former U.S. Attorney James Santel. Jim, welcome back to the big show, the returning champion.
Mike, very good to be with you on this very special day for at least two reasons. Not only the observance of the horrific events of a year ago in Washington, D.C., but also want to extend to you and to your entire staff, Brian, Luke, Evan, everybody there, your congratulations on the big announcement this week about re-entering Waukesha and being a part of Wisconsin's important conversation about issues today.
Buddy, I'm claiming Waukesha. Waukesha is my town now. Right. And I know you're a fine resident of Waukesha, Wisconsin. So
I am.
Welcome. Probably our first Waukesha-based guest.
So we're good.
Very excited to have you, Jim.
And spend a lot of time right there. I know you're going to be on Wisconsin Avenue eventually. You spend a lot of time up and down Main Street for a number of different reasons. Looking forward very much to being a part of your program, if in fact I behave. And so future invitations, I will continue to accept.
Our new affiliate, WAUK 540 AM in Waukesha. And of course, we've got 101 FM, The Shaw. We got a fine guest. He is former U.S. Attorney James Santel, friend of ours. Jim, I've got to start with the speech of the President of the United States. And we've talked about sometimes our public figures do not rise to the gravity of the moment. Mueller, I think you and I have both been critical of Mueller, especially the public testimony. And yesterday I was casting a little shade on Merrick Garland. But this morning, Jim, I was so proud of my president. This is the most substantial, perhaps the best speech I've ever seen Joe Biden give. He rose to the gravity of the moment, and he called out the former president, not by name, but even Trump was bemoaning the fact he's so mean to me. Jim, what do you think of the speech this morning by Joe Biden?
A complete agreement with you, Mike. This was a speech that, again, if any listeners this afternoon did not see it, it is worth it, putting down your Netflix account tonight and watching this. It was, in fact, a president being presidential, talking to the entire nation, honestly, in a straightforward fashion, invoking history, but invoking contemporary issues, identifying what had to be said today about what happened, drawing this picture, once again, that we do not forget, but some people want to forget, about what actually happened a year ago today, making it colorful, making it clear, making it horrific as it was, and then moving beyond that and talking about the ways in which America should behave, does behave historically, yes, along the way. Talking about how this is the action of a frustrated and angry former president who did not get what he wanted. That, too, again, not calling him out by name, plainly talking about Donald Trump's misbehavior then and previously. A wonderful speech, not principally because of that, because of the lofty messages sent to all of us as Americans, what today means in our history and what we need to do. It's a commission for the future to ensure that this doesn't happen again. On many different levels, locally, statewide, and federally as well. Could not agree more.
Well, here's the good news, Jim. People don't have to use their brother-in-law's Netflix account. Stick around till hour two. We're going to play you many of the sound bites of President Joe Biden's speech. And it was a barn burner, and he rose to the occasion, to my opinion, Jim. I felt it had perfect tone. And it's unusual. The former president had stated he was going to respond. And, you know, that was sort of the expected. I think everyone thought, you know, he's so thin-skinned, this Cheeto Messiah. He had to respond. And, of course, he was wounded a little bit by the harsh words of Joe Biden calling a spade, but someone talked him out of it. Want to get your impression of the response of Matt Gaetz. He said, you know, basically, we feel no shame. That should be the motto of the Republican Party after 4 years of Trump, Jim.
And again, for that, saying that very thing, he should feel shame. He should feel shame. And again, understand that Matt Gaetz, although he has almost certainly done other things that may result in his own jeopardy in the future, it is difficult today anyway to identify specifically what he did. More broadly, a lot of the good history on this today is going back to the things that others in the Republican Party said immediately after January 6th. We had leadership in both the House and the Senate, on the floor of the House and Senate, publicly saying Donald Trump is responsible for this. This is a shameful event. This never should have happened. All the kinds of things that, conscientious and good Americans understand. And now over a year, we have drifted to what Matt Gaetz says and others today have said, minimizing the significance. Someone again indicated this is once again, Kevin McCarthy indicating that this was just the Democrats overstating, trying to use this for political purposes. Nothing about that coverage today, including the president's remarks, the vice president remarks, and this continuing montage, this moving montage of members of Congress, again, principally Democrats, talking about where they were, what they were doing. This is not shameful at all. This the behavior condemning what's going on today and what and not condemning what happened a year ago. That's the shameful part of this. So once again, wrong messaging, wrong time, and could have so easily been just the opposite. Simply embrace the notion. Embrace the notion that what happened a year ago was bad. Let's work together to make certain it doesn't happen. You can still be as political as you want on all those political issues. Today is not the day to talk about those kinds of things in the opposite direction.
Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. It is the insurrection anniversary. January 6th was 1 year ago today. And we've got a fine former U.S. Attorney James Santel, one of our favorite guests. Jim, I draw a distinction between the violent ground soldiers, foot soldiers that were inspired, perhaps incited by Trump, by his words, that marched on the Capitol and broke in, and the procedural coup that was being proposed by guys like Peter Navarro. I mean, hell, he went on MSNBC yesterday with attorney Ari Melber and described a coup, and Ari Melber said, "Sir, you're describing a coup on television." "Oh, no, I'm not." Jim, is it too much to think? I mean, are you allowed, we're all allowed to have opinions, but when you act on those opinions in direct contrast to the U.S. Constitution, whether it's violent or not, this is still a coup attempt, or do I have this part wrong, sir?
No, you've got it just right. Once again, Professor Kroot, in the law school of 92.7 FM, exactly. The Navarro interview, once again, I hearken back to the Lester Holt interview with the former president, which the former president says, yeah, for that Russia thing, I terminated the FBI director, Jim Comey. That is an admission on air that I would play in a trial if, in fact, you wanted to establish an attempt to obstruct justice. The Navarro thing yesterday, in which he apparently decides to discriminate, distinguish between violence and nonviolent ways of overthrowing the government, as if that is a distinction that makes a difference. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And so that kind of articulation, once again, just because it is in the public domain does not mean that it's anything other than violative of our fundamental norms. And as we have spoken before, Mike, you and I and others on this good radio station, there's some criminal exposure here. Liz Cheney has said just as much. She talks about actions to an attempt to prevent the counting of votes. Those kinds of things. 18 U.S.C. 1512, to get a little academic on you this afternoon, again, makes it a crime to obstruct an official proceeding of the United States of America. That's the kind of thing that Peter Navarro was talking about yesterday. That's the kind of thing that is out there today. We also know, of course, from this fellow named Bernard Carrick, who's a former New York City police commissioner. He's got this 22-page document called Strategic Communications to overturn the Biden victory. All of that. A strong indication that this was an attempt, perhaps at some levels, not to be violent, nonetheless moved into violence. But the coup itself is no less a coup just by virtue of the way that you describe it or the way that you plan it, even if you didn't intend for that violence and those people to die in Capitol Hill, people to be injured, the horrific violence of that day. Even if you did not intend that, you are still engaged in what I regard as a criminal conspiracy, a criminal conduct on that day.
Jim, I was hopeful yesterday we'd be celebrating Merrick Garland Day right here on Devil Radio and the Walk and the Shaw. But the Attorney General, and I often, you know, I critique their speaking ability. I got a comms degree. That's the only thing I'm good at. You know, I'm a little disappointed in the lack of dynamism. I can't even say the word, but he's not dynamic, Jim. He's a little scholarly, a little dry in the presentation. But ultimately, are we to read the tea leaves when he said something to the effect, you know, no man's above the law and we'll prosecute this to the highest reaches? Now, he's not hyperbolic, not like I, perhaps, Jim. Is that the most important thing he said yesterday?
I agree with your sense of a theatricity on this, that as he's standing there in the Great Hall, the Department of Justice with those wonderful statutes behind him on the left and right and talking in lofty terms, nonetheless, a speech that was plainly crafted, I would offer, to within inches of its life. I don't mean that in a bad sense, but just very carefully. What he says is, as you indicated, he's going to hold all January 6th perpetrators at any level accountable under law that were present that day or were otherwise criminally responsible for the assault on our democracy. Now, I have no doubt, once again, that language was parsed. That was not cavalier language that he put together in the curtains right behind the Great Hall as he was moving forward. Everybody scoured that language. It is language that certainly is broad enough to suggest that the Department of Justice is, in fact, looking beyond the 700 or the 1,000 people who actually engaged in that violence a year ago today on Capitol Hill and looking to people like, yes, Donald Trump, and yes, Rudy Giuliani and John Eastman and these others, and Mark Meadows, who may have been involved in actually putting together the conspiracy. We don't know. And I would offer, as I have before, that as much as he is following government guidelines and Department of Justice guidelines, you don't confirm or deny the existence of a pending investigation. That is rote law. That is part of the rules and regulations of how this works. I get that. At the same time, there is an exception. If, in fact, there is a real public reason to know, some notoriety about this, and I think he's trying to sort of skate between those that fundamental concept and this notion that if there is, in fact, a real public interest in knowing what you're focusing on, you can, in fact, talk about it. And so I would certainly hope that I can read into what he said yesterday, as I think you and I exchanged offline here, the notion that maybe, in fact, there are some files with names like Donald Trump and Michael Flynn and John Eastman and Jeffrey Clark on those files in the Department of Justice. I hope that is there. He certainly broadly spoke about the penumbra of things that he's looking at. The only other observation I would make, which is what you and I have said before, is this. Washington, as we well know, is a sieve. The only thing that is more important than power is information. And it is significant, I think, that up to this time, if there is, in fact, a grand jury investigation, if people are being called in, these people are being summoned in by their FBI to talk about these things, gosh, you certainly would think that somebody somewhere, sometime, would have leaked something about this. Now, I don't encourage that necessarily as a former DOJ employee. It shouldn't happen. It's good, perhaps it's not happening. But in Washington, D.C., where everything leaks out, you think you would have heard about something, which again gives you some pause about whether or not his lofty language does in fact include specific focus on the real conspirators here.
Jim, there were 147 Republican Congress people, despite the violence of January 6th, when they came back into session, they still voted against the certification of the electoral outcome. Jim, you know, as a layman, that just seems wrong. But from a criminal perspective, from a statute perspective, is there any criminality there, Jim? About 1 minute left in this segment.
Sure, yeah. And on that particular aspect, I would say it would be a tough case to make just because you really have to get into the notion of criminal intent, that I was truly attempting to overthrow the government. I was trying to obstruct proceedings. That might be a little bit far reach there. You'd have to dig deeper into your motive in doing that. You're exercising your right, I suppose, as a member of Congress to vote in that way. The reason why this investigation is so important is the real issue would be, what else did you say privately to Mark Meadows, exchange with the president? What's behind the scenes of your vote that day? That, I think, is why these documents and why the investigation on Capitol Hill, maybe at 9th and Constitution, is so important.
He is James Hentel, former U.S. attorney. This is a very important day in U.S. history. We are celebrating, air quotes, the one-year anniversary of the insurrection. Want to come back. Want to talk about the fact there have been no insurrection charges, and the right-wing talk media machine is using that of justification. This wasn't an insurrection. It was a riot. just like Black Lives Matter. More James Santel, more Devils. We'll be right back.
Submission!